Harry, welcome back to Australia and welcome to The Informer. What keeps bringing you back? Well, not to The Informer, but to Australia.
You know, this is my first time at here.
At Joy.
At Joy. It's a pleasure to be here. Australia is work. I come here with work quite a lot. I spent 4.5 months here at the start of the year, and I'm going to be with briefs at Sydney Festival in January, then in Perth with briefs in February, and then doing a solo project at the Adelaide Fringe in March. So I said, hey, can I come to Melbourne early and spend Christmas here? And this is my first Christmas away from home.
Well, Harry, you've been having great success in your career, and I think it's safe to say that there aren't many artists out there whose work isn't influenced by their lifestyle and relationships. Would you like to talk about what's changed for you in the last few years and what you might attribute some of that success to?
I started in London on the sort of club circuit and was very much, I would say, a party boy, as a fair assessment of who I was a few years ago. And making work for a club environment and also kind of riders and drinks and partying, like, became part of the lifestyle of work for me. Like, I would know that I would do a show and then, like, get really messed up afterwards. And then it reached a point, like, I actually went to Glastonbury and did a performance that lasted for 107 hours, just as a teenage girl who wouldn't leave her bedroom. And during that performance, I would get, like, blackout drunk and other substances, like, you know, just... And we filmed the piece. So when I reviewed the footage of who I was, not many people get to see themselves, like, actually that messed up. And not only that, dressed as a teenage girl, that messed up either.
Confronting.
Yeah, it was very confronting. And I knew that I was very unhappy. I also did the Edinburgh Fringe that year in 2015. And was just feeling really rotten all the time and drinking before shows, drinking during shows, after shows, like so many nights a week. And I just realized that there were, you know, so many weeks and months that I just were all sort of blurring into one sort of painful hangover. And there would be times where I would go out on a Tuesday just for one drink and come home on a Thursday and be like, what? How did that happen? I have no idea. And I've definitely felt like I'd lost control. And then later on that year, I just went out for one and it became really bad. And the next day I was meant to be doing a project with a friend, and I sort of turned up at their house and just couldn't function that day. And I was like, this is really embarrassing now that I am, like, unable to be a human in the world because I went for, like, one drink last night and now I'm a mess, and this has happened too many times, and I really need to take a long hard look at my life, which I did. I moved to Brighton and I sort of decided to become sober, and ever since that, life has changed for the better.
So since that realization, how hard has it been to let go of that lifestyle? Because, you know, you do spend your life, well, a lot of your life now, performing in festival tents and you know, in going to artist bars after shows. So has that been something that's been hard to let go of?
It's been a recalibration because, you know, those creative environments are still nourishing for me. But, like, I don't need to stick around and be the last one there. I don't need to, like, have the drinks before the show or after the show. I actually was like, I'm here for the work, I'm here to perform, I'm here to do my job, and I love what I do so much and get a lot out of entertaining people and making people laugh and making people feel something, and that's my job, and I don't need to like accept the lifestyle as, like, uniform for the way I behave. Because it isn't, and not everybody is like that either. Like, there are so many people that respect the choice or actually are like that too. And there's, like, a little sober community of performers and people, and we kind of connect or help each other or are able to be sounding boards if we're having difficulty. And I work with a company who are really respectful of my choices and who I am. And there's no pressure or, like, feeling that I'm like not part of a company or a team by not engaging in that, because actually we're all there for the work, and it's really nice that that's the case. Because, you know, if I, you know, working in club environments, which I don't really do anymore, would probably be more of a challenge. I'm still learning a lot about it, but I am around bars and like drink and that all the time. But yeah, as I say, I can just go home and go to sleep and wake up really fresh and then go to work the next day and do my job. And just because I'm there doesn't mean I need to do it. But for a while I did feel not like fun anymore, because I was like, oh, I used to remember when, like, with this performance energy, I'd have drinks after the show and ride that, and we'd go out and we'd do all of these things, and now I'm just tired, and now I can't wait to go to bed and like sleep. And it has changed me, but I'm now more excited and more work focused.
In terms of performance, have you found that the performance you get, a high from performance, has been more valuable than what you were maybe looking for outside of that?
I think I've accessed a different place in terms of performance, energy and ability, because now there is more focus on what that is. And I'd say before, there was definitely a point where I was maybe not necessarily as present, like in terms of my performances, like maybe more towards the club days, and just like was involved in that party atmosphere. And now I feel like there's probably, like, you're getting better, like, well, I'd say definitely you're getting better performances out of me, because I'm way more like grounded in what I'm doing, and I'm also looking after myself a lot better. While it was like fun to just be like, hey, I'm really drunk, I'm going to jump off the stage into a split, like, that's not great for my longevity of my body. Like, and I, like, without warming up either. Like, I used to do that quite regularly.
Oh, no.
Yeah, no, seriously. Yeah. And I would be like, I'd find it really funny in the moment. And then the next day I'd be like, you're an idiot. You didn't warm up. You didn't warm up. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
So, you mentioned on Twitter and Instagram on your 2-year anniversary of going sober that you were unable to cope with trauma, and that drink and drugs had become a coping mechanism and a temporary escape from sadness. How do you come to realize that, and how do you deal with sadness now?
I definitely had to, when I moved to Brighton, kind of take a long, hard look as to why the decision of regularly wanting to escape, where that came from. And that had come from a place of an unfortunate incident that is still something that I'm like working out how I talk about publicly, as opposed to, like, you know, because it wasn't all just like the drink and drug lifestyle that had taken me there. There were like things that had happened that weren't great. And I think when you are able to like take really reflect on those incidents and like take the time, which I hadn't done up until that point, because I'd been working and touring, and it'd been amazing, but also, yeah, just working through that and then kind of feeling like, oh, okay, I can deal with this, and I can look at myself in the mirror and like myself again. It's a really difficult thing to kind of talk about, and it's still like, you know, how much of, because it does find its way into my work now, like, and I'm able to kind of access those places and allow myself in ways that I find comfortable presenting artistically. But, like, it's still within conversation, very much like, oh, okay, like, hey, like, but who isn't a bit broken? And I think we all have that. It's just we don't always know because these things aren't surface.
Is that something that you think, well, okay, so from your experience of going sober, for example, I that sounds weird to say going sober, but I'm going with it. Is it the right thing to say? I don't know. Being sober, choosing to be sober. Yeah.
Or like sobriety.
Sobriety. So you mentioned that there are a group of artists that you all support each other.
Mm.
What are some of the things that you think could help those that are struggling with this to sort of...
No, it's like, it's, well, everybody has their own journey.
Yeah, and their own experience.
And like the J word is such a cliched word, but it's so true. Mm. And that's why I'm kind of, I try and talk about it regularly online and often offer like an open DM, like for anyone wanting to talk about it. And I try my very best, like, to get back to everybody or, like, you know, really help where I possibly can. But I think definitely being more honest about that struggle online has been something that I found has just benefited me in people getting a heads up. Like, so now people are not going to be that person that's, like, was formerly a crazy party boy. And that is really great because it just kind of gets that out the way. But it also opens up that dialogue for other people. And I found that I've had great interactions from people just being like, hey, I'm just checking myself at the moment because I, you know, maybe I'm getting a bit too much. And, you know, some people don't need to give up entirely. Like, some people just need to, like, maybe watch it. And some other people probably, like, will, like, find that they might need to. And that, like, it's just working out what that personal experience is. But I think being more open and honest about it is definitely something that I've found has benefited my interactions with people, and that they are a bit more, they come from a deeper place now. Even though sometimes it's like, can be a little, yeah, it's interesting and you can get very emotional with people quite quickly. But I don't mind that. Like, right. By all means, come and let's just have a hug and, like, talk through some real stuff instead of, like, just surface, you know.
Well, it's also using social media for a different way, actually going deeper than just, you know, posting a photo, which is fun too, but...
Yeah, don't get me wrong. I'm guilty of a thirst trap every now and then. But then, like, I think to mix through that, the real experiences that we all have is, like, why I quite like, you know, being honest about it, like, and not just trying to be like, hey, my life is brilliant, like, and just being really mindful as to, like, how we use social media and what we're all getting out of it, and whether, like, you know, there are times where I'm like, am I doing this because I think it will get a really good reaction, or am I doing it because I want to share it? Like, what is the difference there? And I know I want to talk about sobriety online within social media because I just find it way more honest, and it helps me so that people know what I'm going through. And I often say nobody knows they can help if they, like, aren't aware of what you're actually going through. If you kind of keep everything bottled up inside, then nobody can actually reach out. Nobody can really, like... And so I don't see now any shame in just... like saying, hey, I'm 2 years sober, like, actually find, you know, conversations about this really useful if you ever need a chat or ever want to chat about your own, like, you know, interest in sobriety or consumption, please just, yeah, hit me up. And I'm happy to go deeper in that way.
Right, so that's the regular, I guess, interaction that you have with some of your fans and followers. I guess after that initial post, what was the reaction like? Was it mostly supportive? Has it kind of increased the communication that you have with some of the people following you?
There's definitely... I mean, in terms of, like, even my real-life interaction, there were a couple of times at the start of it where people might say, oh, I remember when you were fun. Like, and that is actually quite difficult to hear because, you know, I still feel like I'm a fun person. Like, I... wear very colorful clothes or like, and like, I really enjoy making images and art and like having interesting conversations or, you know, and that to me is fun, but like, maybe I'm not fun in the way that they see fun, or, but Yeah, so there's definitely a reaction, but predominantly, I would say there was just a whole world of support waiting for me, but people didn't know I needed it until I spoke about it. And that's the kind of key thing I learned, which was sometimes, as hard as it might seem, like, being open and honest about how you feel is the best way. And it just sort of, any nerves I might have had were, like, relinquished immediately. And, yeah, it just became easier after that.